Claudia and Mallory Lilly, and thank you for giving me the opportunity to have a corridor with you.
And so now we're up to positive COVID cases. Our Pasifika whānau are very much impacted this time around particularly, and because it is the Delta variant, it is more dangerous. The number of positive cases amongst our Pasifika whānau, is that a reflection of how badly the government has rolled out a COVID-19 strategy, not just this time around, but the last time around as well, too, in targeting our Pasifika and Māori whānau?
Yeah, I think this. If you give me the, if you ask me to sum it up, I think this the government failed in terms of dealing with specifically with Māori and also specifically with Pasifika. But in terms of Pasifika, you know, the strategy had to be an ethnic Pacific approach, because our Tongan whānau have a different approach to our Samoan whānau and the Rarotonga whānau and Niue. So to lump it into one Pan Pacific, you know, is, I think that's the biggest mistake they ever done, because now that they scramble around and looking for an answer, but you know, the community, we've been Zooming all day, you know, trying to organize from church leaders forum to community groups, and but it is you know, what we need to do is not, we need to attack this as a whole, but have to have a have to tailor made it to each whānau. You know, as I said before, the Tongan have to actually develop their own strategy. Samoan had their own strategy, and it's like was Māori, you know, because we actually have the solution within ourselves, but the government need to trust us, because it's they, for a long time, my experience in Aotearoa, the government thinks they know what is good for us, rather than us, you know, devise our own solution, and it's a win-win for everybody, and less cost too.
Yeah, absolutely. And one of those areas that we could that, you know, we gather, as an example for Māori, where we gather is where it would be best to come kōrero. What about so is that the same for the Tongan community, as an example? Should the government have gone to, or should the authorities have gone to the churches and to talk to the churches and the communities there, and then have vaccinations in the churches? Because then you would have not just, you know, because the government did age groups, but you'd have whole whānau groups. Hauleinga church groups. Could they have done that?
Oh, absolutely. And I think this, they start to realize it now, and they scramble around for, you know, for a solution. But as I said to you, in the past, that we, you know, we set up a Pacific church leaders forum, you know, for all the different churches, denominations, and then we have a their own group. They've been because I was one of the people that helped set it up in 2016. So it's been running now for you know, over 5-6 years now, and they been just working quietly on the side. But we had a Zoom today, and I was trying to encourage them. They had to be more proactive in terms of utilize the, you know, their link to the rest of the community in terms of trying to devise a solution for the government to follow, you know, but government need to listen, you know, rather than just giving us a lip service all these years, you know.
And are they listening now then? What of Opito Sua William Seo? I mean, he knows how to listen, you see?
Yeah.
That's the thing too, eh? It's a knowing how to listen. So he knows how to listen, and he knows what you're saying. And I guess, you know, how's he doing in trying to convince his Palangi colleagues in government to step aside and let you do what you have to do?
I think he need to just reach out to Brother Willie Jackson, and get a leaf from Willie's approach, you know, to deal with it, because it's I always admire the way that the current Māori MPs is actually organizing themselves within government, you know, because I think that this with Pacific, we have a number of MPs there to work alongside with Māori MPs whānau and really have, because we have a strong voice within the current government, you know, but we need to utilize it, but not just sort of take orders from up the top, you know, because otherwise this thing that will go on will be brought up again and we shall talk about it the next time around.
I see that the government has set up a specific 0800 number for our Pacifica communities. Is that going to be enough to get our whānau in? And I say, is that going to be enough to get our whānau in to be tested? But actually, to be fair to our whānau, like I went to Turiki today, and the queues were long, you know, our whānau, Māori and Pacifica, going to get tested, going to get vaccinated. We know what we have to do. I just don't, but we're congregating around Māori and Pacifica delivery health services. We're not going to the mainstream. We're congregating around ourselves. Is it enough?
I think what I noticed, they start to realize, you know, the solution actually lies within our Pacifica community and also Māori community. See, Māori is easier because they... Māori can actually have a one voice. Pacifica is hard, you know, because, you know, they have a different interest and whoever make the loudest noise will seem to be start to lead the way. But for us, the Tongan community, we want to be at the top table and start to devising the solution. And within some of the 0800 numbers, some of our whānau need to be translated, you know. And that's why we want some of the 0800 numbers to be delivered through our Pacifica radio station. Like tonight, the Tongan community language week is on Wednesday night, you know. And we start to channel the information through there and also have the host to do a talk back, you know. And I think that way that you can actually explain some of the medical jargon to our whānau in a language that they can understand what is need to be done and in some of the requirements under the level 4 protocol and some of the things like that.
And that's fair enough. If each country wants to have their own voice and their own strategy, I mean, that is fair enough, isn't it? Because at the end of the day, you are your own kingdom. I mean, you are the Tonga Tapu, the kingdom of Tonga Tapu. You're not, you're not a Pacific nation as such. You are individual countries that require individual strategies. That's fair enough, isn't it? The government needs to realise that.
Absolutely, because long term, if you look at the costs, we'll reduce the costs that we can channel to other area of great needs, you know. And I think that that's quite often they overlooked it. They will just look at Pacifica, and then they give a pan-Pacific approach, and then the Pacifica community are actually scrambled around trying to find their themselves and try to get their voices to be heard at the top. By then, that the gate's already shut, and then we're back to square one again. And I think, hopefully, that the listening from government is starting now, because otherwise, we actually looking down the barrel in terms of the COVID with this Delta variant is quite dangerous, and we need more than prayers, you know, to address this.
And in terms of the statistics, so we see that 50%, or it's actually 2/3 of those positive cases in Tamaki Makaurau are Pacifica whānau. But if we're looking at it by because we are individual nations, do they also have the breakdown of Pacifica nations as well too? Tongan, Samoan, Niuean, would you like those statistics? Are they actually there? And if not, would you like those? And if they are not there, then why not?
Oh, absolutely. Because at the moment, if you look at when you break it down, you know, the Samoan community, because of the Assembly Accord cases there, I think about 75% of the Pacifica cases actually come from the Samoan. But I just don't like when some of the Samoan politicians will start to cry foul because of, you know, because what's named is the Samoan community. But what other way that you're going to deal with it? Because you have to own it. If it is a total community, you have to own it and deal with it. You know, you can't just try to hide because it shouldn't be disclosed. And it's something that we need to address it and fight it head on rather than just try going around the circle.
And in terms of the rangatahi for Tonga, what's the sense and mood amongst the whānau for having our rangatahi, the 12 to 15 year olds, vaccinated? We see that, you know, our schools have been, there are positive cases in our schools, particularly De La Salle would be of a concern for us, and Macaulay as well too. A high number of our Tongan Tamariki rangatahi at those two particular schools. What's the sense amongst them for being vaccinated?
I think we discussed it that our corridor today with the church leader, and some of the church leader was indicated they don't approve the, you know, the 12 to 15. That's fair enough. But what we're trying to explain to them, you know, the government is not going to force them to vaccinate. They have to get the parent consent before it's a standard under the, you know, the law of this country. You can't, the government can't just sort of come and just force them to vaccinate. Have to get the consent from the parents. And I think some of the church leaders were pleased with that. So those things like that have to be explained to our community, because it's not the government tell you that you got to have to vaccinate, but those kids, the reason why we want them to take the vaccine, because it's to safeguard them, you know, safeguard the rest of the whānau in our community at large.
So there needs to be more information being distributed to the communities. They definitely needs more communication and more tailor-made information to Māori as well too. So I would expect that the more tailor-made information to each of the different Pacific nations as well too is required.
Yeah, one of the biggest group that we're trying to deal with is our youth. Because we had a look at the vaccination, the 40 and under, because that block are the biggest block where they're New Zealand born, and they're the one is quite often they have this this independent view, and quite often it clash with their parents and grandparents. So what we need to do is try to work out a way. We actually invited the Tongan youth to did a presentation at the church leaders forum today, and they're very slick, and they understand and they can articulate some of those issues and some of the challenge they face. You know, we decided that we're going to have to embrace some of their ideas.